Mustafa, we have a number of questions that came through during the course of the week. Many, many questions, inshallah. And yes, the cell phone starts to beat already. But let's go to the first few questions. The first question is, it says that my father and his brother were in partnership in the business. My father stole money secretly from the partnership, and he bought a car with the stolen money, and he gave me, that is his daughter, this car as a gift that was bought with the stolen money. What is the status of this car for me? Is it halal or haram for me to use?
First of all, that is she certain that her father stole that money? If she is certain, and I do not know how she is going to assess that, because in this case it can only come after confession from her father. And if her father confesses that yes, it is bought from the stolen money, then obviously she should tell her father that she does not want that car, and they should return that car to the partnership pool. Meaning that that car now belongs legally, as far as the Sharia is concerned, to the partnership, that business, that pool. It comes into the assets of the pool. And they should not feel shy about this. They should repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek forgiveness. And by doing so, then the person may feel, no, my brother will not trust me again. But I think, inshallah, if he is forthright and he says that he has done such a evil action and repents sincerely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mend the ways and unite their hearts. And in fact, if he does so, perhaps the other brother says, okay, that you may have that.
Keep the kanji. And then we have the second question the sister has. She says, my father and his brother are in partnership. They started the business with 20,000 rands. It grew to 20 million rands, which is a very, very booming business indeed. And she says, my father was the active partner and his brother was the inactive partner. My father and his brother wished to dissolve this partnership. Should my father take the 20 million rand and give his inactive partner 20,000 rands, or must they share the 20 million rands into two equal halves, Mustafa?
They don't want to give you one share.
Hey, I was. There's no telephone number where I can contact them, okay, sir?
Okay.
Maybe just about 2,000.
Okay, no problem. See, yeah, this is a very important question. Why? Because many times, because of partnership, and the partners do not realize their responsibility, and they do not understand the terminologies of Islam, mudaraba, etc., then they get confused, and also they do various illegal actions. For example, that sometimes they make their partner work and they do not officially tell him that you are a shareholder. Sometimes what they do, they make their wives work and they do not tell the wives that they are shareholders. Sometimes they make their sons work and make them toil, and then the son becomes rebellious when he realizes he's not a shareholder. And here, this is a typical case of a sleeping partner. And Sharia allows this, where one person puts in the capital and the other person puts the labor. And the case may be hypothetical in nature, but it is practical and it is happening around us, unfortunately. Yeah, the sharing has to be done on the 20 million and not on the 20,000. The partnership has grown from the capital of one and the labor of the other. But we will advise listeners, especially those who are in partnership, immediately put it down in writing that what are the shareholdings, and as far as the losses, the gains, and draw itinerary, especially in the firms, what belongs to who and how much, what percentage. Also, in the machinery, in the building, in the land, in the property, and in the dividends, everything must be specified. If it is not specified, unfortunately, it leads to quarreling, fighting, lawyers, court case, presenting ourselves in front of kuffar, courts, etc. And this is absolutely disgusting and humiliating.
Alright, Ms. Abdullah, that answers the question. And the sister has another third question. She says, does stolen property become halal by means of inheritance?
If the person does not know that that is stolen property, then obviously because of ignorance and jahalat, the person will become the owner of it. But if a person knows that I am inheriting stolen property, then the rightful, legal, shari and justice must prevail. It has to be returned to the rightful owner. Otherwise, it will be usurping of property, and this will weigh heavy on the shoulders on the person on the day of Qiyamah.
Alright, Jazakallah. So the time is now 70 minutes to 9 o'clock, and to the listeners of Radio Islam and Satellite, the number to call on the question and the answer session is 0118541548. It's preferable that you come on air live. And but anyway, the cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082-580-807. I'll move yourself. Many questions coming through. Alright, we come to the computer screen. The first one is, are you allowed to do yoga?
Activities like yoga for exercise, which are designed by the non-believers, and most of these exercises entail meditation, and meditation not done under spiritual guidance of a good Muslim, righteous, pious Muslim, is vain, futile, baseless, and definitely one should abstain from it. Remember something, that the heart of man and the inner self of man, the mirror in the wall, the mirror on the wall, can be cleaned by pure water, rose water, and also the mirror can be cleaned of the dirt and the dust utilizing urine. But this cleaning has got two different methods, two different results spiritually. Now yoga, this is based upon the culture, civilization, belief structure, philosophy and ideology of those who are not believing. So meditation in a completely un-Islamic manner will tantamount to aiding and abetting and sanctioning the ways of non-Muslims. Therefore, definitely, the Muslim should not participate in these forms of exercises.
Alright, going further on the computer screen, the next question states, husband and wife Mufti Saab were married for 4 years. Eventually, they stopped sleeping with each other. When the husband passes away, must the wife still sit in iddat?
Definitely, he still has to sit in iddat. Although there was no physical contact, and there was no relationship, as the question says, but the wife has to still sit in iddah.
The next one is, Mufisab, are you allowed to smoke hookah pipe?
Are you allowed to smoke?
A hookah pipe.
This, obviously, smoking, whether it is smoking of the cigarette or cigar or pipe or the hookah pipe, or using the pipe, filling the tobacco, etc. All this, one is that it is not haram, but definitely it is detrimental to the health, and it is waste of money, burning literally of money, waste of time, energy, and that money can be utilized valuably in other places, on the person himself, herself, or the family, etc. Also, that the detestment, the karahat, that the makruh status will increase as per the level of the smoker. And if the smoker's health is affected, then it will go right up till makruh at-tahrimi. But definitely, it will start from the position of makruh. Yes, we also do know that certain times, certain doctors say, no, you should smoke. in that case, if there is a pious, reliable Muslim doctor who says so, then there will be no detachment. But in most cases, it is literally burning away of valuable money and definitely detested. One of the Ashraf Ali Thani, Ramtullah Ali, someone asked him that, Hazratji, will I be able to smoke hookah in Jannah? Mm-hmm. One of the Ashraf Ali Thani, Ramtullah Ali, said, yes, but you have to maybe go to Jahannam to get the
right.
The charcoal.
See, subhanAllah. Allah, so we have another question, very, very interesting. This one, I like this one, and very common as well. It says, Mutisab, can a wife call the husband daddy? And can the wife call the husband daddy, it says? And can the husband call the wife baby and mummy?
These are terms utilized, and they do not mean the actual technical meaning of it. They do not. The person who says this word, daddy, mummy, all these words, they do not mean the technical meaning of it. Like, for example, daddy meaning biological father, mummy meaning biological mother, and baby meaning biological offspring or sibling. So, first of all, we will say they should avoid using these words.
Right.
However, if they are using it, it will not invalidate their nikah.
Alright, so Jazakallah. So instead of using daddy and mummy, rather use the words dhikri and bachu, etc. We have a call on the line, 11 minutes to 9 o'clock. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib.
Wa alaikum salam.
What is the real message today? Islamic message. I heard all the stories, but I want the real message which the Prophet gave.
Inshallah. Alright, Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib will give it.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I think last week also, the voice sounds familiar and he phoned. I presume he wants one small message, inshallah.
Towards
the end, remind me, we will give one small message.
One small message, inshallah. Jazakallah, we're waiting for your message, Musa. Question number 5 on the computer screen, it says, are males allowed to cut their eyebrows?
Oh, no. Females have abandoned it. Now males want to start cutting their eyebrows. Why they want to do such an action that they want to start cutting their eyebrows? In Sharia, it has not been proven. And it has not been sanctioned that males must cut the eyebrows.
Alright. So we've gone for the SMS question. Is Salams, is it true that counting money many times reduces the barakah of that money?
No, this is a fallacious philosophy or ideology. It is erroneous belief. However, that why count money all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You have counted it, you assessed it, you know what the value of that money, and it can lead to weakening of memory, and it can also lead to vanity, and it can also lead to pride and arrogance if you repeatedly count it. But it will technically not cause any reduction in barakah. So it is also a waste of time counting all the time the money, and also it will create unnecessary raghbat, enthusiasm, giving a person the urge for proximity towards dunya, the world. So a person will become materialistically inclined if he repeatedly keeps on counting money. But to count money for essential purposes so that the counting is right, etc., that is necessary, that should be done, obviously. Here also I would like to stress that especially in internal transactions, that the money should be counted properly, because it rather be more than less. Otherwise, there will be disunity and disharmony caused between even brothers and friends.
Alright, so we go on further. The next question is, we travel 94 kilometers by mistake. Do we become musafir even if the destination is 65 kilometers normally?
Because you did not, and you have not stipulated this in the question, because you have not made an intention that you are going to be a musafir, you do not become a musafir. One of the preconditions to become a musafir, one on journey, is that a person, upon leaving his place of journey or residence, then he must make or she must make the intention that I am going to traverse 88.86 kilometers. So by making the intention, then the person becomes a musafir. In this case, they got misplaced or misled, or they were led astray, or they lost the road, and because of that, they do not become
musafir. Alright. The next question is, it says, Assalamu alaikum. What is the ruling with regards to family members giving permission to cut life support machines so that the person dies? Did they interfere with the sustenance, it says, of Allah?
This is called euthanasia, and there is two things. One is direct and one is indirect. Direct is that a person who has got, for example, a terminal ailment, and now they ingest some substance or fluid or poison into the person, killing that person off. Obviously, that is haram, and that is illegal, that is not permissible, and that is definitely oppression, tyranny, and criminal in the eyes of Islam. However, now you have got these life support machines. If a reliable Muslim, reliable, pious doctors say that, listen, whether that person is on that life machine, support machine or not, makes no difference. Whether you leave that person or remove it, it makes no difference. So in that case, they can so-called pull the plug and terminate or stop the life support machine from functioning. And that will not tantamount to interfering with the time of death, etc., as stated in the question. So it is permissible, but however, you will say that a pious, righteous, Muslim, reliable authority, the doctor, medical practitioner, has to state this, that there is no fayda, no benefit in keeping that machine on.
Alright. Can haram meat be given to cats and dogs?
Haram?
Meat.
Be given to?
Cats and dogs.
You should not give haram meat to cats and dogs either.
Alright. So we have one more question before we have the ad break and the news break. The question is that a man has intercourse with his wife on the assumption that her menses and hayd is over. He later discovers that her menses was not over. What should this husband do?
Sincerely, you may over repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also that he should make further investigations and keep in touch. That means this person here is not keeping in touch with his wife's patterns and his her behavior, and both of them should discuss these things, and it is essential that they should understand, and the person, the husband, should know when his wife is experiencing her menstruation periods, etc., her monthlies, and this person also should give some charity, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never ever do that action again.
Alright. If a fast food outlet is Muslim owned, can you eat there, or must you ask for certification?
Basically, if the fast food outlet is owned by Muslims, then first of all, the Muslim who's running it, we hope and we expect him to be fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not serving any haram item. And the person should be in our age, unfortunately, because of too many people not being righteous and pious, then as a precautionary method, we can ask that person that, listen, are you sure that all the products here that you are serving is halal or not? If that person, he will generally swear in the name of Allah that, and he may get upset even, that do you think I'm going to feed you with haram? And do you think I do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when he makes all these statements, it is permissible to eat in such a restaurant.
Alright, we have to be very careful indeed. We can't further, Musab. Is it permissible to read Quran without wudu? And the other question is, can you perform salah with a skirt covering the ankle and no trouser?
As far as Quran Kareem is concerned, a person can recite Quran Kareem without being in the state or condition of wuzu, on condition that the person is not touching the Quran Kareem. Meaning, the person is reciting Quran from memory. So it is permissible, for example, a person is driving, or the person is doing some other activity, cooking, etc., and without wuzu, recite Quran from memory. Obviously, for the ladies, they should not be in the stage of haste, maturation. Second question, that this, although some may say it is permissible, but there is a high possibility of uncovering of the body part, therefore totally undesirable to read Salat in that state, because of the probability of the cloth raising and exposing those parts supposed to be covered in Salat.
Alright, Jazakallah Musabhi. Let me go to the letter that was sent to us early this morning from a very, 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 very concerned sister. She says, Assalamu alaikum. I would like to know what happened to all the good men, and in brackets, no offense to all the Tajidi Islam and whoever the shoe fits. I was married to the most wonderful man in the whole world. Unfortunately, time was not on his side, and having to deal with his sudden death was devastating to say the least. Alhamdulillah, he had an Islamic will and no debt, so I did not have any other worries to deal with. He also gave me two wonderful gifts, which was taking me to perform Hajj and a lovely child. Now she says the men who show an interest in me either just pray occasionally, that is Jum'ah Salah, or they are married and suddenly have problems with their spouses, or they are too young in their 20s and I am in my 30s. Do men think that women who are widowed or divorced are desperate? Maybe so the next question she asks is, I wouldn't like to spend the rest of my life alone, but I'm certainly not going to settle for less than what I had. So she asks a very, very, very big question with two question marks. Do you still find them? The question, Mufti Sahib, from a very concerned sister. Over to you, Mufti Sahib. Do you still find them?
Inshallah. That first of all, she has suffered a loss, and she is appreciating that the loss is a loss. And also, she is rightfully stating that unfortunately, men these days want to take advantage over females in that position, and unfortunately now all of a sudden they want to display affectionate and compassion towards her. Meanwhile, obviously there is different motivations attached there, and she rightfully is on her guard, which she should be definitely all the time on her guard. She has got, from her question we assess her parameters, her criteria for whom she is looking for, because she is stating the age, and also she is stating that she does not want to be conned into someone who is superficially saying that they require to get married and they require her companionship, etc. So keeping her guard on and keeping her parameters in place and her criterion set, then inshallah she should make dua, keep making dua, that the society is not bereft of good Muslim personnel. Sooner or later, when she makes dua for ni'm al-badal, a good exchange and a good replacement, then the good replacement will come her way. She should exercise patience, make dua, observe the laws of Sharia, maintain hijab, and inshallah the right person will come along.
Inshallah, ameen. May Allah Ta'ala grant her a perfect partner. In the dua to recite is, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khulufli khayram minha aw kama qal. Mustafa, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, hello. Hello, G. Yes, sir. You are live on air. Your question?
My question is, I'm a newly revert, and I'm an African.
All right, alhamdulillah.
So what I would like to know is, when I make a ghusl, what I'd like to know, what is the procedure if my hair has been braided? What do I need to do? Do I need to take off the plaits so that the water can reach each and every root of my hair? or I can do a I can perform a ghusl with my hair plaited. Because what I'm doing at the moment, because I didn't know what to do, yeah. What I do, I use a sponge, because if I use a sponge, you know, the sponge can suck all the water, and I make sure that it drips every end of my hair, every root of the hair, but I said, I'll phone and find out if it's the right thing that I'm doing.
All right, JazakAllah for the call, Allah reward you. And by the way, where are you calling from, sister?
I'm calling from Soweto.
From Soweto, JazakAllah, give salam to all our brothers. You like to listen to the answer on radio?
No, I listen on the phone because I don't have access to radio.
All right.
On the radio.
Oh, okay. Just hold on. Just a moment.
What she is currently doing is the right procedure. She is a doctor.
All right. Sister Murisab says the procedure you are doing at this point in time is correct. It's 100%. All right.
Okay.
JazakAllah so much for your call. Then we have another question, Murisab. Do we have another caller, Muhammad? Shall I knock on other callers? Can a person read magazines like Personalities? He puts your scope of this up, the You magazine, etc., which have nude pictures, aspects of lovemaking, as well as some good tips like recipes and health guidelines. What advice can Muftisab give?
These magazines, most of these magazines that are floating around, in fact, it is absolutely embarrassing to go and look at some of these bookshelves, even to pass them, it is embarrassing with what is displayed on the front cover of these magazines. And for a good, righteous Muslim to waste valuable money on any of these magazines is definitely unbecoming of them to do so. It is definitely advisable, in fact, one should abstain from wasting good money on these magazines, especially now it has been stated they have got nude photographs and pornographical material in it, and as stating that there is some good in it, but there is more evil in it than good, and because of that more evil, then the good is minimal. And of what they're stating about health tips and recipes, etc., then I will suggest that you either buy a book specially designed for that from the marketplace, and even I think now Radio Islam, they sell recipe books, etc., to sacrifice one's morality and modesty and purchase the material to destroy one's morality and modesty. That is foolishness and stupidity displayed from the Muslim side. And all these magazines, they are there to waste our money, our time, our energy, our thought, and also it is designed, they are designed to brainwash the reading, the readers especially, so that the sense of morality and modesty, which is supposed to be imbibed in every Muslim, breaks down and crushes and falls to the floor. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that every deen, every religion has got a speciality, a chief characteristic. And the chief characteristic of Islam is haya, is modesty. And these magazines are designed to destroy modesty and morality in the readers. So definitely one should not purchase, and by one purchasing these magazines, you are creating a need, and you are helping and you are funding sin and iniquity and immodesty.
Right, JazakAllah. So listeners, if you want your recipes come to Radio Islam, we have those recipe books, and as they say, it is cheap. Yes, we have a few other questions on the SMS. It says, Salam Usab, the one question says, Salams, in the weekly Ta'aleem, we read about 6 points, also about harms of backbiting. Yet after the program, they do just that. Should we still attend?
In the weekly Ta'aleem, definitely, Alhamdulillah, the 6 points are read, and the 6 points supposed to be read, and also supposed to be acted upon. And every person attending or listening to Bayan, or listening to any Bayan over the radio, or even listening to a Bayan in the masjid, or listening to the 6 points, is not perfect. So when the listener is not perfect, then one should be listening more. So it does not mean because I am not practicing or because we are committing this error again, then we should not be admonished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states in Quran al-Kareem that فَسَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that remind and remind each other, for reminding is beneficial for the Muslims. Now, by listening to the lecture and the bayan, then one will not immediately change. Immediately change, that's a rarity, that a person immediately changes. So it has to take time for the change to come into effect. A person has been sinning by the shaitan's plan and backbiting, gossiping, all of a sudden to come to an end, that is difficult. It will take time. I'm not encouraging your gossiping and backbiting, but this is the practical aspect. So a person should not discard going to Talim, but increase going to Talim, so that the person reforms and changes. When a person goes to the doctor, and the doctor gives the medicine, and the medicine does not work, then the person does not say, no, I'm no more going to the doctor, because the medicine is not working. But what the person does, he says, I will go now to the specialist. And if the specialist fails, then I will go to a hospital, a big hospital, a clinic, and increase the medical attention. So spiritually, the person is gossiping, but by increasing it and going further and more for Talim, then inshallah, the spiritual ailment of backbiting, gossiping will definitely go.
All right, JazakAllah, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. Brother, sister, nobody there. So we're going further, we have another question, number of questions. Salam, Mufti Saab, and sorry I lost that one. It says Salam, Mufti Saab, and Maulana. Very often I heard Musallis reciting Bismillah at the beginning of each rakat while reading behind the Imam. I don't remember being taught to do so by my Ustad. What is the position regarding this?
If the person obviously is a Shafi, then there is a room for permissibility for them. But Hanafi should remain silent.
Alright. We leave our hometown at noon, travel 120 kilometers. The time of Dhuhr and Asr pass while in another town. I want to know if I should perform full of Qasr when I return home.
Could you repeat that slowly?
Jamsabi says, we leave our hometown at noon, traveling 120 kilometers. At the time of Dhuhr and Asr pass while in another town, I want to know if I should perform full of Qasr when I return home.
So that means when they were in journey, the time of Asr came and went, Zohr came and went, and the time of Asr came and went.
Jee.
So they returned, according to that question, they returned at the time of Maghrib. So they missed their Salat when they were on journey. So when they make their qaza, it will be qasr, because they missed their salah when they were on journey.
Alright. Does a female still need a mahram if she travels from Johannesburg to Durban by plane?
According to most scholars, that she will require a mahram. Very few and far between are saying that if there is a person leaving her, and if there is someone, a mahram, picking her up there, then it is permissible.
All right.
That is very few.
Yeah, so we have another question based on that. Can a mother-in-law travel with her daughter and her son-in-law?
She can travel with her son-in-law alone, without even her daughter.
Without even her daughter, all right.
However, that the ulama have stated clearly that if the mother-in-law is young, and the daughter-in-law is, and the son-in-law is young, then, and if there is a fear of fitna and fasad, then they should not travel.
Alright. We come to the sixth question. Is it permissible for women to read the salah before the adhan goes, or should they wait for adhan to complete?
This is a very good question, and this is a practical question, and the answer should be noted. That, and especially for the females, because they have got responsibilities of the kitchen, and they have got a lot of other chores which they have to do. Once the time, this is the rule, once the time of Salat 15. Once the time of Salat starts, then they can perform the Salat. They do not have to wait for the Azan to be heard on the radio station or from or via the local mic systems in the Masjid. Once the time of Salat, Zuhr Salat starts after Zawal, and once that Zawal time expires, then they can perform the Zuhr Salat without waiting for the Zuhr Azan to be heard by any transmission.
Alright, so going further, Mustafa, are we allowed to keep plants like cactus, which is a desert thorny plant in the house?
You're allowed to keep plants in the home, even whether it is flourishing in the barren land, provided obviously that you are going to care for them and you are going to tend to them. It is permissible to keep the plant.
Alright, third question the sister asks is, is it permissible to listen to Radio Islam while reading our daily wasaifs? For example, Surah Yasin or Surah Waqi'a?
You cannot combine two activities of this nature, that you are going to be reading your daily or nightly wasaifs and Surah Waqi'a or Surah Yasin in the morning, and then simultaneously, concurrently, side by side, listen to Radio Islam. It is not conducive, or you should not be, clearly not be doing these two activities at one time. You either listen to the radio or you recite your wazaif. You should, when you recite your wazaif, be focused and attentive. And also, as far as wazaif reading is concerned, do not make it a custom or ritual. What I mean by this is that when you are reading it, then now and then every week or so, read the fazail, the virtues of what you are reading. Many people, yes, they are doing extremely good action by reading Surah Yasin in the morning, Surah Waqia, Mulk, Tabarak in the evening, and they are doing it for numerous years. But if you have to inquire from them why you are doing it, they do not know. But this should not be the case. A person should know willfully, purposefully, why I am doing this. And once a person does this, that I am reading Surah Yasin so that my whole day is free from difficulty and trouble and my needs are fulfilled, then you will see there will be great effect. I am reading Surah Waqia so that poverty does not come into my family or poverty does not strike me also, then you will see the result.
Right. Rishab, it's now 30 minutes past 9 o'clock. We have still about, I think, 20 questions. We're going to have to extend this program for another for the next 10 minutes. And let's hope we make everybody happy. Rishab, Bismillah, let's go ahead. We have many questions. The one is, when going to the Qabristan, some people only stand by the headside. Is there any virtue in this? Where should a person stand when at the grave?
If you go to my website, then you will find a book. My website is alislam.co.za, and there's a book, How to Visit the Sick. And the ulama say that how you visit the sick and the adab and mannerism of visiting the sick is that you stand at the headside. Same adab and mannerism is for visiting the deceased. So you stand at the headside when you are visiting any person in the graveyard.
All right. The second question she asks is, if a person stands at the headside, does the deceased see or hear you?
As far as hearing is concerned, the possibility exists, because it comes clear in the hadith, when you greet them, they are given back their souls and they are able to listen to it and reply. And as far as seeing, this is not proven.
Alright, then the third question is, when at the Rawdah Mubarak, can Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see and hear you? If yes, then from what distance can he see or hear you?
Again, at the Rawdah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is substantiated from the hadith that he can listen to you. And some are of the opinion that he can listen to your salam, etc., and some of the opinion that he can even listen to your salam, that he can even listen to your speech. The distance is the word used in the hadith is in the qabri, near my grave. So, hearing earshot distance away, not from one end of the masjid. Yes, you have to be earshot away.
Right.
As far as seeing, it is not substantiated.
Alright. And it says further that some people say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted on a Monday because he was born on a Monday and out of gratefulness. Is this correct?
It is correct. It is written in Hujjatullah al-Baligha. Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi has written it. Mufti Sayyid Malampuri Ustad, very big Ustad, that my teacher Darul Diobad has written a commentary rahmatullah al-Wasiya, and in that commentary it is written clearly under the section of the virtues of various fasts that yes, that Monday and Thursday, the reason for Monday has been given because Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born on a Monday, and Thursday because our Amal are presented.
Alright. Coming to the SMS question, it says, I wanted to know when in Ihram. Sorry, what's up here, recorder here, let me just cut it. Salams, I wanted to know when in Ihram, what are you not allowed to do, that is for men and for women as well?
Again, go to our website and see the whole section on Hajj, alislam.co.za. All the prohibitions of when a person is in the state of Ihram are listed briefly, that not to touch any hair, not to tear nails, not to use iftar perfume, and for the men not to cover their head, and for the females advisable not to cover their face. If they cover their face, to give sadaqah in proportion, and also not to hunt any animal, not to have any sexual relationship, and not to break any branch, not to hunt any animal or point to any animal.
Alright, we're going further. So the next question is, Salams, is it permissible for ghair mahrams to drink from the same glass? I think it's a very important question, Musa.
Although permissible, not advisable.
Alright, not advisable. We go on further. Alright, that question was dealt with. It says, is it permissible for a woman to take up employment in the defense force? MashaAllah, defense force.
We are saying that women, when we look at the whole picture of Islam, do not look at one section of Islam, look at the whole, the big picture, and look especially, and I will appeal to the listeners to look unbiasedly, especially the modern, so-called modern educators, and especially the so-called modern Molanas, and so-called the progressive ones, that they should try to reconcile all the ayat of Quran al-Kareem pertaining to and relating to hijab, parda, intermingling of sexes, and gender, and the role which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Muslim. And look at all the ayat, all the hadiths concerning hijab and the movement restrictions of females, and then link it to education and link it to role of woman. There is no such thing as role of woman in modern Islam. Islam cannot be made modern, etc. So there is a specific role which Allah has given, and look at all the ayats of hijab, and then determine and then think how progressive you are, and in destroying Islam, what they are doing. What we should be carefully looking at, that when we encourage and when people say no, Islam is progressive and they want the woman to come out to work and they want the woman to come and mix with men and they want the woman to become breadwinners, then look at all that what you are saying in the light of all the hijab injunctions, rules and regulations, and see if you can reconcile it. And if there is anyone listening who can reconcile that, then I am available for discussion.
Okay.
A woman should not go and become a defense force minister or soldier, whatever.
All right. It says the next question on cell phone, I'd like to know if it's permissible to wear rings made of metals other than. I'd like to know if it's permissible to wear rings made of metals other than gold and silver.
For men, permissible.
Comment permissible. All right, JazakAllah. The next question says, the mouth of the cell phone is a bit slow. What is the Shari'i hukam regarding retrenchment packages?
if the employer is giving the retrenchment packages and the employer is doing it voluntarily without any pressure, obviously they do that without any pressure, then the employee can take it.
All right. Is it permissible for a lady to keep long nails?
As far as hygiene even is concerned, then that is not conducive to hygiene, cleanliness, and definitely if there is filth and dirt under it, how can the wuzu be valid? I mean, the wuzu is not valid, how can the salat be valid?
All right. We go on further, Musab. The next question is with regards to prawns. I think we dealt with this about 2 months ago. Is prawns halal or haram? Or is it makruh?
If you take Maulana Kara and feed him with prawns.
And it becomes halal, no problems. So I think that's one we done with quite a bit. And let's go further. Is it permissible to wear colored contact lenses?
Why they want to wear colored contact lenses? Now I hear they got colored contact lenses that in the dark it shines. And then it all gives out various lights now too. Forget shining, it also beams outside light. All these are satanic things designed to create more immodesty and immorality. And why they want to wear this? Are they not happy with the color that Allah has given us? Are they not pleased with Allah has blessed us? Who they want to attract? Why they want to attract? And why they want to dress? When a female dresses and goes out un-Islamically dressed, then definitely it is for ulterior motives. When to add salt to the wound, now let alone dressing un-Islamically and coming out, they want to change the color of the eyes which Allah has blessed them with. And this definitely is satanic in nature. Its motive is satanic, its intention is fatal, and it will result in immorality, and it will water the seeds of looseness, and it will destroy the moral fiber of society. So if the person is doing it wholly, solely for the pleasure of the husband alone, which is highly improbable and difficult, then it will, there is some room for permissibility. But as a general rule, it should not be done.
All right, Mr. I think we'll have to stop it there, inshallah. And the other questions will be dealt with next week, Tuesday, on Radio Islam. Mr. Jazakallah for your time, for your very, very valuable time. It's really appreciated. And on behalf of all Radio Islam listeners as well, we say Jazakumullah to you and to your family. May Allah Tabarakallah reward you in abundance. And make dua for us, inshallah, Mr.
Inshallah.
Jazakumullah.